Hello and welcome back to the Second and Two podcast. I'm your host, TB. I've got my co-host, producer extraordinaire, connoisseur of the hats and the glasses. Got a nice fresh cut. I know we talked about it last week, but it's looking good. It's Jody. What's up, Joe?
What's good, bro? We're here. Bright and early, for me at least, I should say. Saturday morning, gonna hot off the press, another one of those. We got a big one coming up today. We got some wild card preview, the college football preview for the championship. News, of course, the huge. Getting in the thoughts about how we feel about these games, who we think's making it where. Should be a good one. How are you feeling?
Yeah. No, I'm good. I do want to take the opportunity to appreciate your ability to cut this podcast up and get it out same day. Good stuff. No, it's hard work. It's not as early for me, but I did get up really early because I had to do all the prep. usually I'm prepared already. Yeah. But my week was so busy that I went to bed last night knowing like, okay, we're going to get up at 6 a.m. and grind this tape real quick and get myself. So everything is fresh though. Everything's fresh on my mind because I just did it. But yeah. I'm ready to roll. Got a lot of good thoughts, I think, on these games, whether it be the divisional round or the national championship in college football. So excited. We got to get into some NFL news first and foremost. Since we were last on this podcast, the Patriots have hired Mike Vrabel as their head coach, something that we pretty much expected.
About. Yeah.
I think everybody knew that's like as soon as they fired Rod Mayo, it was like, okay, so they're hiring Vrabel. That's why they did it, right? It feels like if I'm going to go out on a limb and say if Vrabel wasn't out there, they don't fire Gerard Mayo to go get Vrabel. I think the only reason they fired Mayo was to get Vrabel. And they kind of knew that was their dude. So not surprising there. The Titans, they've hired a GM, Mike Borgranzi, from the Chiefs. He was their assistant GM. So that man goes from being, you know, two-time Super Bowl champ going for a third to all of a sudden having the number one pick and trying to turn around a Titans franchise that has kind of been in disarray for about 3 years now. Interesting there.
Travis Hunter.
Travis Hunter, he says.
Make him go both ways for 2 years.
Ben Johnson, hearing a lot of rumors out there. Seems like the Bears really want him. Seems like the Raiders really want him. And we have no idea what he wants because he's still coaching playoff football and we won't know until the lines are out. So the rumors are going to run wild, but it does feel like it's pretty much Bears or Raiders at this point. And it feels like he's probably going to actually take a job this time. If you analyze both those jobs, you know, you look at the Bears, what are the advantages of the Bears? All right. Well, you got Caleb Williams, number one pick, who showed some promise. You've got DJ Moore on offense.
You definitely have to.
Mm-hmm. You are definitely going to have to build up that O-line. DJ Moore and Rome Odunze, you know, two pretty good receivers. Rome had a tough rookie year.
His status is, but he's there.
He's free agent, so don't know if he'll be back. I don't know if they will want him back. He didn't have the most productive year. And also, I kind of feel like they need to put Rome Odunze in that role. Like, I think that's really what they need to do. Cole Kmet, good tight end. Decent crew of running backs, you know, nothing crazy back there, but you got stuff you can work with. So I think there's the makings there if they can really build that offensive line this summer to have a good, productive Ben Johnson offense. And then defensively, you know, you got to hire the right coordinator, but I think that defense has a ton of talent. So you could be good with the Bears right away. The cons of that job are you're in the NFC North, which just produced three teams that won 11 plus games. And we're all in the playoffs. Now, two of them were first round exits, but the other one is the one seed. Obviously, the team that Ben Johnson is a part of right now. Ownership and the front office has been real, like, it's real murky in terms of who's actually running the show there. And whoever they are, they haven't done a very good job. Like you go back, man, and the coaches that they've hired, it's been not good for about 10, 15 plus years, whether you're talking about
Lovie Smith, right?
Yeah, pretty much since they got rid of Lovie Smith, it's been a mishmash of just randomly weird, different coaches who, and none of whom have worked out, whether it was John Fox or Matt Nagy or Matt Eberflus or whoever you want to name, it just hasn't been good. So a lot of questions with that front office and that ownership and the management of that team. Okay. On the flip side, you look at the Raiders. What are the advantages of the Raiders? Okay. Well, you have a blank slate at quarterback. Go get who you want. Who do you want to run your system? Whether it's in the draft, somehow, some way, they're a little deeper down the draft board to get one, maybe, but maybe you trade up or you do what you need to do. They also don't have a GM in place right now, so you might be able to kind of pick who that person is to come with you to run the team. You've got Brock Bowers, who is an all-world tight end right now. I mean, he's arguably already the best one in the league. He's right there with the Kelseys and the Laportas and all of those kind of dudes.
They went nutty this year.
Defensively, you have some pieces that should be stalwarts on that defense. You know, I mean, Max Crosby, of course, first one that comes to name to mind. Mm-hmm. So there's some building blocks there. The cons are that you really don't have a quarterback. I kind of gave it as a pro, but it's also truly a con, because if you can't get one, you're smoked. We've seen that.
Comes out and he's a dud. It's like, well, yeah, wait another couple of years.
You're also talking about Mark Davis, who of all the NFL owners might be the weirdest. I don't know if he's the worst, but he might be the weirdest for sure.
P.F. Chang.
Yeah. I mean, the other pro, though, is that the influence of Tom Brady on that organization now. I do think, at least, it depends on...
We'll see what happens, right?
How you look at it. Yeah, I guess it could be a pro, could be a con, but I think... The Tom Brady influence is why Ben Johnson is in the mix for that job, truthfully. Mm-hmm. Also, saw some reports today that said they're willing to make him the highest paid coach in the NFL. Like, they're trying to give him a bigger deal than Andy Reid. So, I mean, obviously for that guy, yeah, who knows what the mindset is there, but if they're willing to give you that kind of deal, you know. So, interesting. We won't get a resolution to it until the Lions are out of the playoffs, but Bears, Raiders, Ben Johnson, we'll see. Okay, so some injury news for the divisional round here. Jody, take us away.
Yeah, we got Zay Flowers, doubtful for his game. No, 2 weeks out. Do you know exactly what happened? I don't have no clue.
Is his knee. I think it was the MCL. If I remember, MCL sprain off the top of my head, I think that's what it was. So, yeah, I mean, he's been out for 2 weeks. I'm sure they're going to do a pregame test on him, but it feels like it's leaning towards he won't play. But the doubtful assignment here does give you hope for if they win, he could play in the AFC Championship game. Mm-hmm. That says he's making progress, so that's a good thing.
Yeah, we got N'Kobe Dean out for the Eagles from what happened last week. David Montgomery, though, coming back from
back to the Lions. Injury. Positive news for the Lions.
Yeah. We got Mixon, Al-Shahir questionable for the Texans. What happened to them two?
Mixon, I think, was an ankle. Aziz Al-Shahir is elbow, maybe. I just know. Yeah, I did see that both of them are questionable, but I think they're expected to play. They're
probably gonna play, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Makes sense, especially that defense is gonna need any presence they could get. We got Alaric Johnson. I have no clue who that is. Bobby Brown.
The Rams left tackle.
Okay. And our boy Akello Witherspoon, questionable for the Rams. We got who's Jalen Watson? Because I just saw Watson right now and I was like, who's this guy? Is that the receiver?
The corner tight end? For the Chiefs. He's better corners right now. I would imagine all of these guys who are getting the questionable tag will play. I know from the Rams standpoint, McVay has said he expects Alaric Jackson, Bobby Brown, and Akello Witherspoon to play. All three of those guys are critical in different ways. Alaric Jackson is the best left tackle the Rams have on the roster. When he hasn't been able to play for various reasons this year, he started the year with 2-game suspension, PEDs, and then also had like a game or two where he missed for an injury. They were awful without him, so they need him. He's their best left tackle. Bobby Brown has been critical. We're going to talk about him later. Actually, he's been critical at nose to help the Rams stop the run recently. Need him. I know his was a shoulder injury that he sustained in the Vikings game.
And then Akello Witherspoon the past week.
Mm-hmm. And then Akello Witherspoon has been described as like a thigh or hamstring deal. It's kind of murky exactly what it is, honestly. But he came up limp on a play against the Vikings in their only touchdown of that game. He kind of, you could see it on the replay, what was going on with him. So, but again, all three of those guys expect to play for the Rams. I believe Jalen Watson expects to play for the Chiefs. And I would imagine Mixon and Al-Shaer play for the Texans. So the only dudes really out, it appears, the big names anyway, Zay Flowers for the Ravens, N'Kobe Dean for the Eagles.
See, the schedule for this week, though, we got the Texans Chiefs playing today at 4:30 Eastern, 1:30 Pacific. That's the Texans slot all day, every day. We got the Commanders ESPN. Lions later. 5 o'clock on the night game tonight, or I guess 8
Fox.
Eastern. Fox. That's our guy TB12. He's interviewing your boy.
He'll be calling the Ben Johnson game. I wonder if he'll be on the game trashing him so that other teams don't want him because he can save him for the Raiders.
That's a strategy right there. By any means necessary.
Whatever you got to do.
Kicking it off on Sunday, we got the Rams Eagles at 3 Eastern, noon Pacific.
NBC, we'll get Collinsworth on the call. We're going to hear that.
Oh, here's a guy.
Matthew Stafford, here's a guy. I'm juiced for it.
And then tomorrow night at 6:30 Eastern, 3:30 Pacific, we got the Ravens Bills. Probably the one I'm looking forward to the most.
Jim? Lamar? Jim? You're going to hear a lot of Jims about Lamar and Josh Allen from Romo tomorrow, I imagine.
Nah, I don't think he's gonna be trying to call the plays, and it's not gonna work because Lamar isn't gonna do half the stuff. You just take off, you know what I mean?
I think NFL announcing crews, you know, just since we're kind of talking about all time high right now, you know, Aikman and Buck on ESPN are good.
I'm not a fan of Aikman. He tends.
You know what I love about Aikman? Last week when Sam Darnold's playing awful, he's not afraid to just be like, "Hey, this dude's playing awful." Like most announcers dance around that and they don't want. Aikman's like, "Nah, like I don't even know." Like he's like, "They should just run the ball." At one point, he said, "They should just run the ball at this point and get people out of here without getting hurt." And I'm like, "Jeez," like Aikman's not afraid to be rough, and I like that. I respect it.
I used to like him in the past, but as of more recent, I've been like, this guy. I just feel like
Brady has some rough moments, but he's gotten better. Mm-hmm. I still prefer Greg Olsen, but
definitely
Brady's doing okay.
I was gonna say he has gotten better, but I feel like in general, I haven't watched many of his games because I normally resort to. He also, I think he low key kind of sounds like Greg Olsen at times. I don't know. Or someone else does from Fox. I don't know who.
I think the NBC crew is still my favorite. Tirico and Collinsworth is great. I even like the Amazon crew with Al and Herb Street. That's a good crew too. And then of course the CBS crew of Nance and Romo is always good. Yeah. Jim Nance is probably the best play-by-play guy in the game. So, you know, and Romo, I guess some people don't like him, but I don't mind him, dude. Romo. I like his energy. I like his energy on the call. So anyway, just want to shout out the play-by-play and the color commentators right now. They're doing a fantastic job calling these NFL playoffs.
I will say that my favorite part about Romo is he'll like predict a play, do something else right after, like, "Oh, this guy's playing so well today, blah, blah, blah." And then like a play or two later say they dropped the ball or something. He's like, "Oh, this guy," he'll like flip the switch on him. He's like, "Bro, what's this guy doing?" He was doing so well to this point.
So before we get to our divisional game previews, we have to do a quick wild card review of what happened in last week's games, what we came away thinking. So we've got five burning questions here. Number one. Jody, what surprised you the most from Wild Card Weekend?
That the Broncos scored really quickly at the start of their game and didn't see any more points after that. And losing by like 38 or whatever it was. They came out. They had like a 3 minute, 2.5 minute, 3 minute drive. Went down the field. I was like, dang, that under looks cooked. And the next thing you know, they didn't do anything else.
Yeah, it was a miserable game after that. I was equally as I was like, okay, the Bills or Broncos hit an explosive. Maybe this will. It kind of made me feel like, okay, maybe I was wrong in this game, and it's going to be a good game.
Yeah.
And then it was like, no, actually, I was wrong. I didn't pick the Bills to win by enough. You know, it went the other way. So I agree with you. But the most surprising thing of the weekend for me was Chargers Texans. Just how atrocious Justin Herbert was. I truly picked that game. I thought both defenses would play well. I love both head coaches. And at the end of the day, I was just like, hey, Herbert is playing better going in the playoffs than Stroud. And that was not like you look at the numbers the last 3 weeks of the season. Herbert was playing extremely well. Mm-hmm. The Chargers offense was firing on all cylinders. Stroud and the Texans had struggled. And the first 27 minutes of that game, that's kind of how it was playing out. Although Herbert wasn't balling by any means in that stretch of time. Like Chargers rolled me up 6-0, which is ultimately probably why they got themselves in the predicament they were in, that they didn't capitalize on some of that stuff. And Herbert, of course, threw the interception after the Chargers got one, kind of gave it right back. But Stroud, man, once he turned it on, I mean, it was clear and obvious that he was the better quarterback in that game. And not everything is Justin Herbert's fault. Some of the sacks he took, it's like complete breakdown in protection, like just not even getting an edge rusher. Some of it is like drops by his receivers. The ball goes off their hands into another guy's hands for an interception. Of course, that's not his fault. But he's not absent of his struggles there either. Like he certainly played a factor, and he didn't play his best ball. So I was surprised by that. Coming out of wild card weekend, which wild card team do you have the most confidence in right now?
I mean, I like the Bills. I kind of probably been saying that the last, you know, 5 weeks. Kind of had them on my radar. I actually think they're making it to the Super Bowl, but They've been kind of like who am I thinking of? Like Ohio State in the recent weeks. They're just blowing everyone out of the water. You know what I mean? I think that, you know, putting up another 31 points, or I guess 38 unanswered, if you want to put it that way, against a team and then in the playoffs is definitely some big things, you know, you could think about going forward. I do think their defense is a little wishy-washy at times, but I like the Bills. From the weekend.
Yeah, I think the Bills offense is electric. Their defense played really well against Denver after the first series, of course.
Mm-hmm.
For me, I like the Ravens. They ran for 300 yards against Pittsburgh. Crazy. They had a drive where they ran the ball 13 straight times down their throat and scored, and Pittsburgh couldn't stop it. And in my mind, I don't know what defense is stopping that run game right now. It definitely ain't the Bills. The Bills give up 4.5 yards to carry. The weather ain't stopping it either. You're running the ball in any weather. I think right now, I Baltimore's my pick to win the Super Bowl. It was going into the playoffs. They were my number one in the power ranking. Defensively, they're putting the clamps on. Teams can't run the ball on them. You have to throw against them. And truthfully, their secondary, it comes and goes. It's been much better. I mean, they had the number one scoring defense for the last, whatever it was, 6 or 7 weeks of the season. So, like, you put all that together, I just think Baltimore has it this year. I think that Derrick Henry signing on that offense with Lamar, huge. I mean, you saw Pittsburgh was so worried about Derrick Henry that they were trying to run gap exchange with their edge players and tell their edge players to just crash and the backers get over the top versus Lamar. And Lamar, he was just he was winning those plays in space. You know, you're forcing the keep by Lamar, fine. I mean, how at any other time in Lamar's career, when would you have said, hey, tackle the back, force Lamar to have the ball? And that's how good that's how good Derrick Henry is.
Yeah.
That Pittsburgh, that's what they were willing to do. Well, their game plan was clearly like, hey, make Lamar keep the ball and we want to kind of wear him out. That did not work well because they rushed for 300 yards right up their face. And they couldn't stop it. So, and if anyone was kind of built to stop that Raven, I mean, it feels like it was Pittsburgh. So if Pittsburgh ain't stopping it, I really don't know who is. I think that Ravens offense is right now, what they have in that run game is the most unstoppable thing in the NFL. So I have great confidence in the Ravens right now, which is interesting because, you know, you like the Bills, I like the Ravens. They're playing each other. We're going to see, you know, one of us is just going to be wrong right now, like this weekend.
Yeah.
So that's fun. Who do you think has the toughest matchup in the divisional round?
I think the Rams do, playing the Eagles this week. We got their offense is just so many weapons, right? They got like three receivers out there, AJ Brown, Devontae Smith. I mean, can't think Goddard. Of who the third is. Yeah, I was going to say Goddard, but I was trying to think of their true wide receiver. Of course, Saquon, we talk about all the time. And then Jalen Hurts running it all. Great O-line. Like, there's another great match.
I'm going to say that
O-line. O-line versus the D-line. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. I just think, like, when you think of who's on which team, like, yeah, you can name Puka and Kyren and Coop, but, like, Coop hasn't really been the same all year. He's been, you know, taking a step back, letting Puka shine. Like, we're going to need a big game out of him. And then just the secondary as well, I think. They're gonna have it in for them. If they can't lock in, it's gonna be a rough watch.
I mean, I think based on what happened in week 12, you can't really argue with that a ton. Going into the playoffs, I was very honest and I said if the Rams play anybody but the Eagles, I think they can win. If they play in the Eagles, mm-hmm. gonna be tough to pick them. Now I will say the way that both their wild card games played out makes me feel like, okay, maybe the Rams have more of an opportunity to win this game than I would have given them credit for going into the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
If we're being honest, that might also be a little part of the fandom for me, wanting them to obviously be able to win the game. Yeah. You know, you kind of got to convince yourself that it's possible. But truthfully, the analytical part of me says, like, the Eagles' mm-hmm. offense is struggling right now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, their run game is obviously what makes it go, and they were still able to do that pretty effectively against the Packers. But anytime they're in a passing situation, it just doesn't feel like they get it done right now. I mean, despite all the weapons, despite the time, I don't know if it's you watch it, Jalen Hurts is just like a little bit off.
Mm-hmm.
So you got AJ Brown on the sideline reading the book.
Yeah.
whereas we're going to talk about this when we get to it, but the Rams have been much better on the run, you know, stopping the run since week 12 mm-hmm. against Philly. So we'll get to that. For me, I kind of felt like, you know, the right answer feels like Houston having to go to Kansas City. You know, like it does feel like that's the most lopsided game, if you will, going, or at least that's how it looks. We said the same thing last weekend with Houston and LA. And then I remember saying, hey, you know, everyone's on the Chargers. Maybe we need to reevaluate. And of course, that was
exactly
the case.
What happened.
But I'm actually going to say, I think Buffalo being a home underdog in the divisional round after the season they had feels insane. It feels crazy.
Yeah. MVP bowl.
And I honestly, I think that's the matchup, the one matchup that they didn't want. Like, I think there's a weird. The Raven, you know, the Bills can't beat the Ravens, but the Ravens can't beat the Chiefs, but the Chiefs can't beat the Bills thing kind of going right now.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So there's like a weird, like the Chiefs don't want to see the Bills, but the Bills didn't want to see the Ravens, but the Ravens don't want to see the Chiefs. I kind of mm-hmm. think that's a weird, there's a weird triangle there thing.
Uh-huh.
So I just feel like that it's a tough
matchup.
That's
why they needed the Bengals to pop in. So mm-hmm. the Chiefs can play the Bengals and nobody wants to see each other.
The Bills, it just feels like they got kind of a tough matchup there for being, again, the two seed. They're at home in the divisional round, and they got to see Lamar and Derrick Henry, who right now, to me, are the favorites to come out of the AFC. So that's a tough one for Buffalo in my mind. So speaking of tough matchups, who is your matchup for the Super Bowl as of now?
The Bills versus whoever wins the Rams-Eagles game. I think if the Rams could pull it off, they're destined for something greater than we expected prior to like those last couple of weeks when they were fighting to get into the playoffs to now has been crazy growth. But like I said, the Eagles just have so many weapons to where I could see it going either way. And if they could get past this weekend, hopefully they don't have, it's going to be wild if it happens, but if they have to go to the Lions, I just think that the injuries is what's going to save them there. Cause there's a lot of men in Detroit. Coming from our guy, Dan Campbell, all the way down. But I think this is a true, like, battle-tested team, whoever wins this one. And so winner of that game is who I would take. If you want me to pick one or two, I'm going to just say Rams because I would like to see that. But Bills versus whoever wins, Rams-Eagles.
Okay. And I, on the flip side, have Rams-Ravens. I mean, I do think the Rams can beat the Eagles this weekend. And then I think we're destined for a Rams-Lions NFC championship. It was always meant to go this way. Yeah. Final,
Stafford
like,
back at home.
Nail in the coffin of who won the Stafford-Goff trade. Yeah. I mean, we already know the Rams won it because they won the Super Bowl. But, you know, it's the battle of, like, those organizations are so interconnected in so many ways. Brad Holmes, Les Snead, Jared Goff, Matthew Stafford, the playoffs last year, the week one opener this year. I mean, both those games were tight. You know, obviously week one went to OT this year and the Lions won on a walk-off touchdown. Like, the Lions have managed to win both those games. It just feels like, I don't know, there's this part of me that wants it for Stafford. Like, I want Stafford to be able to go back to Detroit. He hasn't been able to win there the last two times he's been there, but now it's where the stakes are highest. NFC Championship, the Lions trying to go to their first Super Bowl, and Stafford just ripping their hearts out. I want that for him, truthfully. Yeah. But especially because of kind of the way they've treated him, it feels like the fan base really turned on him when he's the best quarterback in franchise history, and he took so many lumps there.
Yeah.
So I kind of want that for him. And then on the other side, I've told you, like, I think since about week 17, I've been saying Baltimore's coming out of the AFC. So I'm not changing that now. All right. Last question.
It feels like we just like the winner of both of those games, huh? Basically what it comes down to.
I guess we're just throwing major shade to the one seats, both sides. Yeah. We're like, one seats. So what game, though, now coming out of the wild card weekend, everything we've just discussed, what game are you most interested in watching?
The Bills-Ravens. I mean, it's like I said earlier, I don't know if you caught it, it's the MVP Bowl, basically, right? Mm-hmm. Everyone's been saying these two dudes' names since like week 10, probably. And it's a big game for Lamar. Like, he's made it this far multiple times, but I don't know how many times from like his record in the game, but it's going to be big test for him and the Ravens going up to Buffalo. I think the weather is going to be another, like I said, it's going to be the coldest game that I think Lamar has ever played in. So it's like, it's going to be tough all around, but like it goes back to what you said about running the ball. If they could do that, that's where, you know, this type of football is played. So we'll see. But like I said, MVP Bowl, I think that's just the most obvious pick. Whoever wins this should have won it. And if not, then it's like, whatever. The other dude probably has a case anyways.
I am juiced for Dan Campbell versus Dan Quinn.
Battle of the
Dans. It's the battle. Hey, nah, it's not the battle of the Dans. It's the battle of the fourth Dans. Yeah. Like McAfee style, bro. It's not fourth down. It's fourth Dan. And both these dudes are known for their ability to go for it on fourth down consistently. I think we're going to see a ton of fourth down calls here.
We'll see if it happens.
No punts, no field goals. We're just all money on the line. Lay our nuts on the table. Here we go. But truthfully, I am like, you know, you think about what the Lions are going to do defensively. Okay, they're going to play a ton of man coverage. Okay, well, what does Jaden Daniels do? You know, he runs around, extends plays, runs with his – I mean, that's going to be fun. Then on the flip side, you know, Ben Johnson and what he's doing schematically versus Dan Quinn, who doesn't have all the pieces on defense, but, like, you've got Bobby Wagner, you've got Mikey Sanders still, you've got a D-line that can make some plays. Like, there's enough there to make that fun and competitive, and I'm excited because, you know, it's going to be the night game tonight, and I think that's just going to be a fun, purely entertaining game to watch, just like I kind of felt about – Washington, Tampa in the week in the wild card round. So I think we're getting another great game there. I'm excited to watch that one for sure. All right. It's time to preview the divisional games with that. We're going to start with the first game of the day today. Texans at Chiefs. All right. So for Houston, big key, dude, CJ Stroud has to be special. We're not going to sugarcoat this. He has to be elite. He basically has to outplay Mahomes in this game. The Texans' first five drives against the Chargers were fumble, punt, punt, interception, punt. Okay, they started out with a total of 54 yards. CJ Stroud, he started 6 for 11 for 66 yards. And if you're asking yourself, wait a minute, they only had 54 yards, but he passed for 66 yards. They didn't run the ball for anything, and he got sacked twice. So that you take away the sack yardage, and that's where you're at. right? Yeah. He also had an interception, of course, in those first five drives. And like I said, he took the two sacks. It looked bleak for most of the first half. The first 27 minutes of that game were all Chargers, especially when it was Chargers defense, Texans offense. And then all of a sudden, C.J. Stroud was special. Yeah. Started with that fumbled snap that he turned into a first down on 3rd and 16. And the rest of the way, he goes 16 for 22, 216 yards and a touchdown. That's basically a half's worth of work.
That's the Ben Johnson special right there. Fumble the ball, throw it deep.
They're going to need that kind of effort from him for a full four quarters, though, in the road on Arrowhead to have probably any shot in the game.
Yeah.
And he showed he's capable of it for 33 minutes last week. You're going to need it for 60 in this one. On the flip side, for Kansas City, they have to sustain drives by winning on third down against one of the best third down defenses in all of football right now. Against the Chargers, they only allowed them to complete 27% of their third down opportunities. Since the Chiefs are not an explosive offense, much of this has been communicated for the last 2 to 3 years. Despite winning Super Bowls, they haven't been as explosive. What they do is they sustain drives, and Mahomes doesn't make mistakes. But knowing that, they're going to run into some critical third downs, and this Texans defense, they get off the field in those spots. So they're going to need to convert in those moments to keep the ball and get points. I do think that that's a fun matchup, watching that Texans defense versus the Chiefs offense on third down, because Houston is, again, their top three defense and third down efficiency. So it's gonna be a fun one. If we look at some clips here to further explain the point and why this is so fun in my mind, we'll go to none other than the Texans game last week. All right, so this is a third down against the Chargers. We got 3rd and 6 in the, I believe it's the third quarter. Right. This is still like when this is like a pretty good game at that moment. And the Texans, they're showing five, they're showing pressure, right? And plan looks kind of like man across the board, maybe man free here, right? If he's going to rotate to the middle of the field, he's got that one, right? He's got the tight end or the back there. Man, you know, Stingley's pressed up over there like he always is, right? He's taking away Quentin Johnson. And that's exactly what we get. We get man free. Okay, so we're going to rush and send 5, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 at Herbert, which is really kind of guaranteeing you one-on-ones. I know they chip with the back over there, but for the most part, you're getting one-on-ones, all right? And the Texans have just been really good when you give them that. They're going to win, right? Yeah. They're pass rushers. They've got dudes up front that go win in those situations. Whether it's on the interior or exterior, obviously, you know, they've got the two dudes on the edge, Will Anderson and Danielle Hunter. But, you know, in this case, they win in the interior, and it's just that they just beat them right now. Kansas City, for all their awesomeness offensively, I mean, which they haven't even scored 30 points this year, so that's maybe an exaggeration, but the thing where they do struggle the most, I think people have made a lot about the receivers. It's the O-line. The O-line's got to be better right now. Their interior is better than the exterior there. So maybe they're less likely to get beat inside, but they're definitely, you know, those two hosses outside can go beat them. Now, on the flip side of it, you go to Kansas City and you look at it. Here's a 3rd and 7, right? Against none other than this Texans defense in what week was that? Week 17 or week 16, sorry, right? This was that like Saturday to Wednesday stretch, right? This was that Saturday game in week 16. So the Chiefs go, okay. We know you like to play man, Texans. We know that you like to send an extra guy because it's a very similar look right here, right? They're going to bring 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 and play man free, right? We know the Texans like to do this. Bring 5, play man free. Don't overcomplicate it. We got dudes. We got Lassiter. We got Stingley. Like, we're going to lock you up, right?
Yeah, they're playing okay, so tight ends on this. Am I mistaken?
Yes. Yes, they do. So the Chiefs say, okay, we're going to give you a bunch concept to mess with that man coverage, right? And we're going to initially inside release with an inside release, and then I'm going to come back underneath you and get back outside. And you look what happens with all the bunch. Yep. And who is that? I think it's D-Hop. No, it's Hollywood Brown when he first came back. That was like his first catch, right? But they really, they scheme it up, And they even have Kelsey here who you got to worry about, right? He's actually stays in initially.
He's telling people what to do.
Mm-hmm. And they scheme it up. This is an Andy Reid special where he gets a guy wide open. So if Andy Reid and Mahomes are good enough to beat the Texans on third down and keep drives alive, I don't think the Texans have a shot. I'm just going to be honest. Even if CJ Stroud is special, ultimately, Mahomes will win those matchups. If they keep extending drives and keep the ball, even if CJ Stroud is special, he's not going to have as many opportunities as he's probably going to need. So the Texans, they got to win on third down. The Chiefs, you know, if they extend those drives, I think it really puts the onus on the Texans and a lot of pressure on the Texans. And it'll be likely
getting those nitty gritty yards. And the Texans can't sustain a drive. It's just that's a bad recipe right there for the game. So that's something to keep your eye on too. See, for me, the bet for this game, so I'll give you a little train of thought. I said Houston +8. Said all your Chiefs can't beat anyone by more than a touchdown. But the one thing that's scaring me is we haven't seen the Chiefs in like a month. They had the stretch of games, and then they've been chilling since like Christmas. So I think I'm a flip here, and I'm taking the Chiefs -8 because I don't see the Texans being able to have consistent drives. We started off those first five, like how you mentioned. If you can't score at least a field goal versus these dudes, it's not going to be fun. No, I don't think you can pull it off ever without scoring at least something.
I am with you. I don't think the Chiefs are going to like score a million points. I think the Texans defense is very good. The Chiefs offense is mediocre, but they've got that dude at quarterback who will make the plays when they need them to be made. Mm-hmm. And then on the flip side, I can't see the Texans sustaining what they're able to do against the Chargers. And I think the Chiefs defense is locked in and good, and Chris Jones is healthy. And like you said, they got that month off. Now there may be some rust. We never know, but it kind of seems like the Chiefs have their bodies are used to this. They've done this. They've done this for years now. So I'm not really betting on them to be super rusty. I've got the Chiefs. They're still not going to score 30. I've got them scoring 28, but I've got the Texans only scoring 17. So I've got the Chiefs. Essentially, I'm with you. I think the Chiefs are going to cover. I've got them winning by 11. So I've got Chiefs 28, Texans 17. Mm-hmm. I think the Houston offense struggles in the cold and Arrowhead. I think Mahomes makes just enough plays to extend a couple drives, score some touchdowns in the red zone, and get out of here with a win. Like, they're going to score like a touchdown a quarter.
Yeah,
win the game, and Houston's going to struggle on offense, much like they did against the Chargers for most of the game. So that's what I've got. Moving on to the next one, the night game tonight, we've got Commanders Lions. Number one, for Washington, the Washington receivers have to win versus man coverage. We know what Aaron Glenn's philosophy is at this point, especially with the injuries. Hey, man, we're going to bring pressure. We're going to play man. Mm-hmm. And even if we're not bringing pressure, then we're leaving a spy and we're leaving a one high safety and we're playing man. Like, they're going to play man 60 to 70% of the snaps. If you look at Jaden Daniels' numbers, been a different quarterback when he sees man coverage versus zone coverage, right? Against man, his completion percentage is pretty mediocre, like middle of the road this year, 55.6%. While if you show him zone, his completion percentage is number one in the NFL, 78.4%. So the Lions, that goes exactly with what they want to do. They want to play man anyway, so play man.
Yeah.
The Washington receivers, they got to create separation. It can't just be Terry McLaurin. You know, I think the reason, part of the reason they struggle against man is like, okay, Terry McLaurin's your number one target. That dude can beat man. He can beat zone, right? But if the one high safety, if you're man free or two man or whatever it is, and you shade an extra guy to Terry McLaurin, it's kind of harder to throw it to him, right?
Yeah.
So the rest of their dudes, De'Ami Brown, Zach Ertz, Olamide Sakaitis, those dudes are not like separators by any means. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's why I think they struggle. As it's not as much a Jaden Daniels issue as much as it is their receivers aren't winning versus man coverage outside of Terry McLaurin. Like, Zach Ertz at this point in his career, dude, the smartest dude on the field. So if you're playing zone, he's going to know exactly where to get open.
Yeah.
But against man, maybe he's not as big of a separator now as he was 5-6 years ago. So it's harder for him to get open. And like I said, De'Ami Brown and Zacchaeus, like, those dudes, it's not that they're fast or anything like that. They aren't separating versus man coverage.
Mm-hmm.
So they're going to have to be able to make plays against this Detroit secondary because they're going to see man. And Daniels, the other thing is, And the reason why I would tell you most teams haven't played as much man is maybe you would say, well, why don't teams just play man against them? They struggle against it. Because you know that dude back there at quarterback, as soon as he sees man, he can just take off. Yeah. As long as if you're pass rushing to get home, you're giving up 12 yards on a scramble. So you're smoked. So most teams are too afraid to play man. But you know Aaron Glenn, the Lions, they play with no fear. They fear nobody. So they're going to come after him. They're going to play man. And they're going to see, can this kid beat us running the ball then? Can their receivers beat us vertically? Mm-hmm. And I think the Lions are confident enough, some may call it arrogance, that they're going to say, no, you can't. And we're going to play our game. Now,
yeah,
I'll show you some film of how the Lions can play man while effectively not letting Jaden Daniels scramble, because Tampa did it a little bit and it was effective. I honestly, Tampa, they frustrated me because they played too much zone. They should have done more of this. But anyway, on the flip side for Detroit, Jared Goff needs to play mistake-free, and they got to win those critical third down situations because, truthfully, they need to keep the ball. One of the primary reasons Washington was able to win against Tampa was that critical turnover that gave them the extra possession that allowed them to capitalize and score. Goff and the Lions, they're going to want to control the clock. Again, their defense is not necessarily the strength of this team. They're going to be feast or famine. They will probably give up some big plays. Washington will still find ways to score. So Goff and the Lions, they got to keep the ball. They got to win the time of possession. And then they got to finish drives with points. You know, if they're keeping the ball, all that stuff is great, but then they go for it on fourth down and they don't get it, that's just as good as a turnover for this Washington defense. Yeah. So they got to finish drives with points. And that's going to require them to play with little margin for error on offense. And I think that's probably the case for any playoff game they play right now. I know their performance against the Vikings was great, but again, the style of defense they're playing right now, it's feast or famine. They feasted against the Vikings. It may not always be that way. So if we look at the film here, you know, I promised I would show you how you can play man coverage against Washington, right? While still keeping and maintaining an ability to not let Jaden Daniels beat you with his legs. So we're going to see, you know, Tampa showing, they're showing you right now, hey, we're playing one high, we're playing man, 3-on-3 versus the bunch, right? We're going to play man down here. Okay, and we're going to look like we're bringing pressure. Lavonte David's got the back. Now look what they did with their other two players, right? They rushed three.
Ran spy.
But they kept spies. And now look everywhere. Where are you winning? They're not. Maybe. They're not winning.
Maybe on Nobody. That last one you just circled.
Right here?
And that's the no, down but, one. But, you just got to throw it to this area by the 20 and 30.
But you've got a one-high safety there. Yeah, you got one high safety. Maybe. You throw that ball over the top. That guy's picking it off. You throw that ball here. He's coming downhill. Like they've got it, and that's one of their best defensive players in Tampa.
I guess you go Zach Ertz. You got to make sure your running back does something where he cuts it back in, and Zach Ertz hopefully open outside. I don't know.
Exactly. And now Tampa is saying, we're just going to cage rush Daniels, and as soon as he wants to escape, we've got two spies sitting there. We're ready. Right? And they end up getting the sack. This is a critical third and four. Now, the problem for Tampa is that they got a defensive holding penalty, so it actually extended the Washington drive, so this play kind of didn't count. But this is the game plan that if you're Detroit, you got to try and play. Like
going deep, that I said? Was it on him?
I don't remember who they called it on. I assume you're probably right. Got a little handsy. Yeah. But I know Detroit maybe right now isn't equipped with the pass rushers to just be a three-man rush. But truthfully, you're not necessarily trying to get a sack on this. As much as you are saying, we're going to play man, take those receivers away. And if you run, we've got dudes in space who will make the tackle on you. Yeah. Like, that's what we're trying to do. You know, that's Jack Campbell and Alex Anzalone sitting right there waiting. And you rush your three best pass rushers. Go get them. And everyone else is playing man with one high. And then Kirby Joseph is that one high dude, right?
Oh,
like, that's how the Lions, if they want to play man coverage and not be as feast or famine, that's how they have to do it. And they're going to bring pressure sometimes. I'm not telling you can play this way all game. You got to be able to mix it up and send the house here. You play some two-man here. Play two high safeties. Play some cover one with just one low hole slash spy and bring four. Like, they got to do variations of that. But that, if you're trying to be playing man while being safe, quote-unquote, that's the way to do it.
Yeah.
And then offensively for Detroit, they have to be able to convert on these. So critical third and two here. in the second half against Minnesota when that game was still a game, right? And this is Goff just operating the offense. It's nothing sexy. It's nothing crazy. But this is a 3rd-and-2, Ben Johnson saying, how we get to our best guy. Okay, right. They're doubling their best guy right now. Again, yeah. The Vikings are playing man free, right? But they're going to give like a little extra inside help here. And what happens? Amon-Ra still wins and Goff gets him the ball. And on 3rd-and-2, we're getting the ball to our dude. Players not plays, right? And we're going to go get the ball to our dude for a 12-yard gain, which is going to lead to a score, which is how Detroit is going to have to play, right? I know they're going to run the ball. Ben Johnson's going to set up play action. He's going to have one trick up his sleeve. All that stuff is true. But on the routine plays, on the common plays, on a 3rd-and-2, get the ball to your playmaker. Don't let Washington get you off the field and get that ball back to that rookie quarterback who's explosive and can make a play at any time, especially against a defense that's going to be playing, you know, risk it ball, right? You got to be able to maintain possession of the ball as often as you can. So these are critical plays the Lions are going to need to win like that.
Another thing I wanted to mention too is you got to worry about this dude, Jaden Daniels, safety. He'd be taking some wild hits for no reason. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
He's got to, this is a game where he's going to have to get down either inbounds or run it out on the sideline. You can't be taking hits for fun in this one. This is going to be a big learning lesson if he doesn't, I believe. But my bet for this game, I like Washington with the points at +9. But I wanted to take the over 55 because I just feel like, I don't know, seems like a fun one to root for. But a little spoiler for you, you had them Lions 31, Commanders 24. So Vegas is on the money. Do with that what you will. I guess at that point, I just say just take the points. But yeah, I'm hoping it's a fun one. We get a ton of points in this one.
Well, you know, my pick, I'm picking the Lions. I do think they've got the goods to win this game. I also think Jaden Daniels has got the juice to keep it fun and close and a good one. I've got Lions 31, Commanders 24. Like you said, right on the number, right on 55. But also by the same token, the Commanders covering that +9.
Yeah.
So, you know, we'll see what we get there. But I do think the Lions offensively have a bigger advantage. The Commanders could win this game, and that's if Jaden Daniels just is making plays and those receivers are making plays against man coverage, and it's a high-scoring affair, and they just win the shootout.
Yep.
Kind of like the game last week against Tampa, although that one wouldn't necessarily qualify as a shootout. Both offenses were really effective. They just kind of – both teams kind of messed some stuff up in the red zone, which is why the point totals weren't as high. But I think both teams will be more efficient this week in the red zone in this game. So I could see it being a little bit more of a shootout. And if Washington wants to win, that's kind of how they have to win. Next game tomorrow, the first game, Rams at Eagles. For the Rams, if you've looked at or watched or heard anything about this game, the number one thing for the Rams, the number one team thing for anyone playing the Eagles, stop Saquon Barkley at all costs. Sell out, play man, make them beat you. Like, that's it. Like, make Jalen Hurts beat you.
Yeah.
Do not let Saquon Barkley do it. That's it. If Jalen Hurts beats you, you live with it. You let it go. Against the Eagles in week 12, the Rams allowed Saquon to record a season high, 255 yards on the ground, 26 carries. Since then, though, the Rams have played 7 games, and they have only allowed an average of 104 rushing yards per game during that time span. If that was extended over the whole season, that would be, you know, one of the better numbers in the league, right? Chris Shula, he's just overhauled kind of what they were doing there. That Rams defense, stopping the run, it's part of why they've allowed 4 of their last 5 opponents to score less than 10 points. They've had 4 of their last 5 games. The other team has scored less than 10. The only one where they scored more than 10 was Seattle in week 18 when the Rams were kind of rotating and resting a lot of guys on defense. The question here is whether the Rams can bring that to Philly, which has arguably the best rushing attack in the league, right next to Baltimore, obviously. So if the Rams can do that, they are in this game 100%. On the other side, for Philly, you got to get the Rams in the 3rd-and-7 plus and then just let your pass rushers eat. Yeah. The Eagles recorded 5 sacks against the Rams in week 12. They added 2 more against the Packers last week in the wild card round. They have some dogs up front who will go hunt. when you get it in the third and long, and they have an advantage there against that Rams O-line, even with the Rams O-line healthy. If they can get the Rams into third and passing, that flips the advantage to their defense, and that's when they can make some big plays that could change this game. If we go to the film here, we look at some clips from both these teams, what they did last week in the wild card. For the Rams, we'll start with them and their ability to stop the run, right? We talked about how Shula has kind of flipped this, right? So they're playing in a lot more like true four-man front with those two backers, and they're letting Bobby Brown just be a space eater, Kobe Turner be the kind of quick sort of Aaron Donald light player, and then telling Byron Young and Jared Verse set edges, hard edges, and Spates is the run through the gap guy, right? That's how they've started playing this. And Bobby Brown, I mean, on early downs is critical for this Rams team. Like, watch him in the interior, right? They've got to kind of make sure that offensive lineman is like, I got to get that chip right there. And it's a little movement, right? Because they're worried, you know, they're running a zone running game. It's a little movement, but it forces his angle on Spates to not quite be right, and Spates can run through the gap. Then on the flip side, you've got Byron Young, who is just absolutely holding an edge. He's not going to let Aaron Jones beat him all the way to the sideline. Like, he's there, right? And then Roseboom is running downhill, and Spates comes untouched because Bobby Brown forced the extra, oh, let me make sure I get that extra bump by the tackle there, right? So you watch it from this angle, it's even better. Okay, they're trying to run this zone run. Okay, you reduce Byron Young into a five technique. You've got Roseboom essentially in a nine. He's just kind of off the ball. And then we've got Bobby Brown in a two, right? They play in double twos here. Yeah. And then there's Spates. He's ready to just run through someone's face, right? Again, this little movement, okay? So the center is attacking him, but he's getting enough movement and penetration that guard kind of has to run through him. And look at the lane it creates for Spates.
Yeah.
With Byron Young holding his gap, Roseboom holding his, and now Spates comes untouched, and he and Young make the play. And it's a 1 yard loss on the Vikings' first play of the game. And they are a great, you know, Kevin O'Connell has built a great zone rushing attack there with Aaron Jones, and they absolutely blew it up on that play. And a big part of it is Bobby Brown and Spates, right? Flip side, Eagles defense, right? This is a third and short for Green Bay. And they decide they're going to try and throw it. And you just watch Nolan Smith be a guy. Beat it inside and then chase him back out. And he gets the sack. Insane. Like, Nolan Smith is starting to come into his own. The Brandon Graham injury, you know, it hurt. But by the same token, it's allowed Nolan Smith to play more snaps. And he's getting better every week. His speed is noticeable, right? You see this right tackle who was a backup right tackle, right? They had to bring in a backup here. He has to really kick out and get out because he's afraid of that speed. Nolan Smith sees like, oh, I got him out leveraged. I'll come back inside. The back was even there to help on the outside part of that, right? And he saw that as well. So I'm going to beat him inside, but I'm going to dip that shoulder and get back and not let the quarterback break my contain.
That's crazy.
And then the beauty of it is like, look at Jalen Carter out there. Even if he does, like, okay, the next guy who you run into is that guy. So
yeah,
that Eagles D line, they go hunt, man. And it's going to be tough for the Rams if they end up in third and passing situations, because that's just where the Rams have had a weakness and struggled this year. And even with their healthy O-line, they even, you know, they gave up a sack to Minnesota. And then there was the big play that almost looked like a fumble, but it was an incomplete pass. You remember all that. So the Rams, you know, they've got to do a good job of protecting Stafford in those situations, but it's going to be difficult if you let those Philly pass rushers go hunt.
Yeah, that dude number three was on a mission right there. I'll tell you that. I just had to do a quick check on our old, when you made the graphic where it was like, who we think is going to, the one word, you know, where we're at on that. I guess I was really high on the Vikings at that time, so that's tough. But everyone else we have right in the same spot, basically. It's just the Vikings for both of us. You had them at six. I had them at two. But other than that, everyone else is still in the playoffs that we chose. So we'll see after this week what holds up.
Washington and Houston are the high risers based on what we had. So Who's your best bet, or what's your best bet for the week?
Yeah,
the games.
This is similar to the, what was that, the Washington game we just did, right? Where I was like, I don't know, pick either one. On this one, I said I like the Rams plus six, but I also like the over. I was like, if you want me to pick just one, I'm going the Rams plus six. I think that's a lot more reasonable. Over might be tough, but yeah, I don't know.
And Vegas is good, man.
Yeah,
Vegas is good because
when it time crunch, they know what they're doing.
Dude, I'm telling you, they got it at 44. Your boys got this game at 45 total. So I've got Rams 24, Eagles 21. I think both defenses will show up. I do think the Rams are going to sell out to stop Saquon. I think Saquon will still make some plays. You know, I think the guy still probably has 90 yards rushing, you know, close to 100. But I think the Rams sell out to stop him. I think Hurts won't be, I don't think by any means he'll be awful, but I do think the Rams coverage showed against two of the best receivers in the league last week, Justin Jefferson and Jordan Addison. Very similar combination to AJ Brown and Devontae Smith. They showed they can hold up. And if you're like, well, Dallas Goedert, okay, the Vikings have TJ Hockenson too. I mean,
that's true.
Truthfully, I think the Rams can carry a really similar game plan to what they did against Minnesota that was very effective and bring it into Philly, with the exception of on early down, sell out even more to stop the run. If you're Philly and you understand that as the game goes, your early downs might be your time to throw the ball. I think offensively for the Rams, Higbee being healthy and back is, I mean, you saw five catches early in that game against Minnesota. It's big time. Mm-hmm. You need Cooper Kupp to be a factor. He can't continue to be invisible. You know they're gonna try and take Puka away. You got to be able to run the ball. It's going to be cold and all that stuff. At the end of the day, I think the matchup for me is close enough where I said, who do you trust more? Nick Sirianni and Jalen Hurts, who have been a great tandem. They've gotten to a Super Bowl. They've won like 70%+ of their games together, or Matthew Stafford and Sean McVay, who are also a great tandem and have won a Super Bowl. I am going with Stafford and McVay, that infrastructure, what they've overcome, where they've been, how battle tested they are this year. It's going to be a tight one. I didn't foresee myself picking them to beat Philly when we came into the playoffs, but I'm there right now. So Rams 24, Eagles 21.
Yeah,
all right.
Should be fun. We'll see what happens tomorrow. I'll actually be able to watch this one. Thank God.
Yeah.
The ones tonight, I'd just be listening, and I got to listen to Iron Eagle.
Iron Eagle's not a bad listen, though. Iron Eagle's not bad. Back to our announcer.
That's love. True.
Ravens at Bills. Last game of the weekend. For Baltimore, run the football. Don't complicate it. Run the football. Control the ball. They ran the ball. I said it already. They had 300 yards rushing against Pittsburgh. The Bills defense plays in nickel a ton. We said this last week against Denver. They just didn't take advantage of it. They give up 4.5 yards a carry. If the Ravens run the ball 35 times at that clip, that's 160 rushing yards and controlling the time of possession.
Yeah.
If they do that, it keeps Josh Allen off the field and allows them to control the game script. And at the end of the day, they still have Lamar, who played excellent last week.
They gave you the script.
Against Buffalo, or on the Buffalo side, Josh Allen got to be special early and often, dude. Put the team on your back, be Superman. You got to be the MVP in the game. He has to outplay Lamar.
No doubt.
He's just arguably the most scary quarterback when he gets out of structure right now. I mean, Lamar and Daniels are close, but I think right now it's hard to argue against Josh Allen out of structure. He created so many explosives against a very disciplined Broncos defense last week, and they just had no answers for that part of the Bills offense. If we go to the film, you know, we'll give you some juice here. Obviously, we'll start in Baltimore. This was part of that long drive where the Ravens just ran it down the Steelers' throat. You put Derrick Henry at quarterback, right? You put Lamar out there at receiver. The fun part is watch what happens to everyone on this defense when they run Lamar in this motion. Look at everyone's like, oh, move that way. Oh, it's Lamar. Oh, no. Nah, bro, it's Derrick Henry. And Derrick Henry's going to run it right through your face and stiff arm you into the ground, Minka Fitzpatrick, and run for 35 yards. and you're not stopping it. And this is where this is such a huge advantage for Baltimore in this game. If Buffalo can manage to keep them like under 150 yards rushing, then I think Buffalo can win. But I don't think Buffalo can keep them under 150. I think Baltimore is going to have whatever they want in the run game. We saw this play out in week four. Baltimore killed them in week four because they just ran the ball down their face. And I just don't think Buffalo has the equipment on that team to stop it. Even though they know it's coming, I don't think they can stop it. Now, they do have the one thing they've got right here. They've got this dude, Josh Allen. And against Denver, he showed why he's special. This is fourth and one. Okay, we're going to move the back, motion him, but he's actually going to look like he's staying in protection, but he's going to get out. Look where he is. It's on the opposite side between the numbers and the sideline, right?
Yeah.
Josh Allen scrambles to his right. I'm extending the play. I'm looking all over the field. I'm looking. Oh, my guy's kind of running towards the back of the end zone, but I've got a defender right in front of him who is, by the way, looking at me. And I'm just going to throw a rocket because my arm talent is better than that defender. And even from 35 yards away, my ball gets there faster than he can run because I'm Josh Allen and I'm just that good. This is ridiculous. No other quarterbacks in the league are making this play, dude.
He had a gap right there, too, to just take off if you really wanted to.
Look at that throw, dude. Come on. Yeah. There's not other quarterbacks in the league making that play right now. They just aren't. Like, even Mahomes hasn't made that kind of play this year. It's not happening. It's also why, like, I'm willing to go with, as much as I love Lamar, it's also the reason why I still think Josh Allen was the MVP this year, because he just puts that team on his back. And he does things that no one can guard. It's literally like the Broncos defender was in great position there.
Yeah.
It didn't matter.
That's very true.
Because Josh Allen's that good. So I think that's the only way in my mind that Buffalo can win this game is if Josh Allen just outplays Lamar, because they're not gonna stop Baltimore on the ground. They just won't. Baltimore's gonna run for 150 plus. And they're gonna control the game. So that means Josh Allen's gotta score on like every possession that he has it. He's going to have limited possessions. There's a lot of pressure on him, but also I think he's the MVP, which is why I think this game is going to be excellent. So I'm not, you know, I mean, it's going to be a good game. It's just, a lot of stuff in Baltimore's favor, in my opinion.
Yeah, no, I get you. All right, so this game was tough to pick. It looks like with your numbers and Vegas, it's kind of terrible all around. So this one's a pick 'em. It's a point. So if the Bills are they're plus one. So at this point, if you're riding with me, you're taking the Bills. If you're riding with Trev, you're getting the Ravens. You pick whoever you want. And then the line for the points was 51. Well, spoiler alert, you have Ravens 28, Bills 24. Look at that, 52. What do you want there? Well, I don't know.
Vegas is always on the money, bro. I swear, I'm telling you, I say it every week, I do not look at the lines. I promise you, I don't look at the over-unders. I don't look at the totals. I don't look at any of it. I just pick the game how I see it.
Yeah, so if we're being honest here, just stay away. Unless you're confident in one of the teams winning, get out of here. Don't look at this one.
There you go. As Jody said, I've got Ravens 28, Bills 24. I think it's going to be a grinder of a game. I don't think the Ravens are just going to score a million points because I think they're going to grind it out on the ground and keep the ball away from Josh Allen.
That would make the most sense.
Especially I think Josh Allen's going to have...
Every now and again, I think.
Yeah, I think Josh Allen's going to have some moments where he just is special. And I do think he'll actually probably outplay Lamar in this game, but I don't think it'll matter because I think the Ravens are just better. I think they're going to run the ball down their face. I think defensively they'll make one play that they need to make to just keep, you know, not allow Allen to score and keep him off the field. And I think the Ravens are, as I said, Super Bowl bound. So, of course, I got them in this game.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, before we get out of here, the real last game of the weekend happens on Monday night.
Monday.
And that is the College Football Playoff National Championship. Yep, we're previewing that too. You've got Notre Dame versus Ohio State, who is, last I checked, an 8.5-point favorite at the Benz in Atlanta, Georgia. Let's get this rolling. Notre Dame, what's their key? They got to stop the explosives from Ohio State, and they got to sustain long drives. Make them sustain long drives, I should say. Ohio State is prone to mistakes. We saw that against Texas. We saw it against Michigan. Their opening drive was a 10-play touchdown drive, and they had a 13-play touchdown drive that resulted in a touchdown in the fourth quarter. other than those 14 points, Ohio State scored on a one-play explosive and a defensive touchdown, and the rest of the game was drive-killing mistakes after drive-killing mistakes. The Ohio State offense, extremely talented, but the longer you make them execute, the better chance you give yourself. So if you're Notre Dame, too high shell, right? Make them go the long way. Make them sustain drives. And it's not that they can't. They're just much less likely to. That if you're playing the numbers and you got to roll the dice against this talented offense, make them go the long way. Make them sustain drives. Make it a muddy, gross 21-20 type of game. That's your shot, Notre Dame. Ohio State, just sell out to stop the Notre Dame rushing attack. When Penn State made Notre Dame throw the football, they had pretty little success other than some just big-time explosive throws by Riley Leonard. That was really it. It's just a couple over the top that made it happen. But it's really clear that Notre Dame's strength is Julian Love, Riley Leonard, even Aeneas Williams, like running the football. And despite a slow start, the Fighting Irish ended up with 117 rushing yards in the semifinal game. And the biggest play of the game was Love's rushing touchdown, where he just muscled his way in and big dogged everybody. Ohio State, they've been excellent at stopping the run in the playoff. They held Texas to 58 yards. And Texas is good on the ground. They are not a bad football team running the ball. So if they do that to Notre Dame, they win this football game, plain and simple. I don't see any other avenue for Notre Dame winning the ball, winning the game, other than we play great defense, we keep them in front of us, and we're able to run the ball and control it a little bit. If it's not that, Ohio State's winning this game. What is your prop bet for the game, Jody?
All right. Well, if you're a user of Prize Picks, as I am myself, they got a free square right now. So you go get Will Howard at half a passing yard. So put that with what I'm looking at for Jeremiah Love over 45 rushing yards. The way I see this game, Notre Dame needs to go back, what was it, 3 weeks ago when Michigan played Ohio State. Look at that. Study that. Execute that. And so what they did is they ran the rock. They made it a nitty-gritty game, similar how you talked about where you got to make them execute, play in and play out, because at some point it's gonna crumble. I like that with the free square from Will Howard on Prize Picks and Jeremiah Love getting over 45 yards, because they need to run the ball, sustain the drive, make it so that they're off the field most of the time. You know what I mean? That's what I'm looking at. Prize Picks also, I know you're listening. If this one hits two, that's 2 weeks in a row with the college football bets. Come peep your boys.
Bang.
For the over-under in this game, I wanted to mention I do like the spread of -8 for Ohio State. But if Notre Dame learns anything from that Michigan game that I just harped on a little bit, it's going to be +8 for Notre Dame, because it's got to be that close. And so with that all being said, for the points, I'm taking the under 46. It just, same thing, going back to that Michigan game. That's the blueprint. All right, we got to expand from there. That was only 23 or something, if I'm not mistaken. And 23. So it's definitely not reaching 46 if that's how I feel this game's going to play out. So that's where my head's at this week.
So just because I am wanting to make sure you're clear and no one accuses us of waffling, do you have Ohio State -8 or Notre Dame +8? What you got?
Oh, I'm taking Notre Dame +8.
Okay, all right. I just want to make sure everyone's clear. Don't want to get any hate here.
Is it
at 8 or 8.5 now?
I had them at 8.
Okay.
I don't know.
What about 8.5? 8.5, it wouldn't change anything for you because you like Notre Dame, right?
Yeah. True.
All right. All that being said, I think I agree with you on the under and the Notre Dame covering, because my final score is Ohio State 24, Notre Dame 20. I absolutely hate this. I hate it. I hate picking Ohio State. I've picked against them in every round to this point.
Is this a Fonte move?
I guess you could look at it that way. Truthfully, I'm setting myself up for a win either way, right? Because if Ohio State wins, as I'm predicting, then I was right. Plus, Michigan beat the national champs, and it's hilarious that we beat them in the year they won it all. Right,
yeah,
that's
yeah,
even funnier.
Course.
In a year where we were 7-5, and we still beat you, even though you won the natty. Or I'm wrong, But Ohio State lost the national championship, which is also excited. Equally funny because the dialogue from Ohio State fans has been like, would you be willing to lose four in a row to Michigan to trade it for a national championship as if they already won it? They're like already counting it right now. And then if they lose, it would be super funny. But truthfully, I love Marcus Freeman. Like, I don't, as a Michigan fan, you're supposed to hate Notre Dame. Maybe not quite as much as Ohio State, but up there, you know, next to Michigan State, that kind of hatred. And somehow that man has convinced me to root for Notre Dame for like 3 weeks in a row. I love Marcus Freeman. I love what they're doing there. His energy and the way he runs his program, I think it's how I would aspire to run my own if I could get one. Mm-hmm. And I just think he's very impressive. He puts the focus and the onus on his team always.
Definitely.
He's like a selfless leader. And I really, really want this for him because I think it would be great for him to get this done, right?
Yeah.
Also, of course, the Michigan fan, go blue, really doesn't want to see Ohio State win a national championship. But truthfully, if I'm thinking analytically, Ohio State has the better dudes. They've played like it too. They've proved it 3 weeks in a row. I just don't know if I see them losing now. Like I think Notre Dame and everything I said about Marcus Freeman keeps the game close. They're going to play with great heart. But also if you look at like the quarterback matchup, Will Howard's a better quarterback right now than Riley Leonard. You know, even in the rushing attack where Notre Dame, it feels like they have such a huge advantage over everyone else. That Ohio State defense ain't letting anybody run the ball. You know, they just have it. They put the clamps on since the Michigan game. So, I think it's close, but Ohio State 24, Notre Dame 20. Absolutely hate it, but that's what I think is going to happen, truly.
Uh-huh. I got a quick story for you because you hit the go blue. We went axe throwing like 2 weeks ago, and there was this group next to us rocking Michigan State stuff. So every time we went up there was like an axe with like a blue handle, and Johnny's be like, hey, go blue, get the blue one. And they would like look at us like, what are these dudes talking about right now? That's wild.
Go blue. All right, so before we get out of here, it's my week, banger of the week.
Banger.
All right, and big fan of banana bread here. Recently, you know, Jill and I have been trying to be real good.
Ended up in the kitchen.
Yeah, well, I've been on the kind of the diet grind, right?
A health kick. Is that a New Year's resolution or unofficial resolution?
It was like we started it right after Christmas. So it wasn't even New Year's. It was kind of like, hey, by March, I want to be at this weight. You know, kind of setting some goals for myself. Lost about 8 pounds. Doing okay.
Nice.
But Jill made some banana bread, but she didn't make it with sugar. You know, she made it with like honey and some other stuff.
I was going to say the art, like pretty, different sweeteners.
Mm-hmm. Pretty good.
Agave.
Really. Yeah. Pretty good. Honestly. Really enjoyed it. It's like a nice, like you don't have to feel as bad about eating it type of, I guess you could call it dessert, sweet, whatever.
Yeah.
And it's crazy because she does that. And then the next day, I don't know if you've been witnessing this off-season version of Bryce Harper, but the guy has just been filming himself on TikTok. Just doing what he does,
and all the money he can before it's gone.
Well, he's like showing people how he makes his iced lattes, showing people how he makes his banana bread, right? So his banana bread, and the way he cooked his banana bread, basically exactly what Jill made, except he takes a banana, cuts it in half, and puts it on the very top of the loaf,
and then
puts that in the oven. And I was like, ooh, gotta try that next time. I like that idea. Very interesting. Just I was like mind blown because I was like, this is almost exactly what I'm eating right now as I'm watching this.
Yeah.
It was not because I watched it, it was because Jill already made it. So shout out Bryce Harper and this little mini TikTok run he's on at the very end of its life, I guess.
Yeah.
I've never been like a huge Bryce Harper fan. Kind of funny. Kind of like it. Not gonna lie to you. But also,
I think we're just used to seeing him yelling with his beard, so it's like, oh, dude seems kind of mean.
Yeah. So that's it. But we got our guy, you know, and I think he's dropping a new single that's like pretty hot right now, right?
Oh, yeah. I don't know if that was an album or a single. I'll double back on the next one, get you that right answer.
We'll update y'all on the next one. But our boy, he's hot right now. So we got to ask him.
Let him take us out.
I could tell them I remember. But will they all remember me? I wonder how they feel about me. I guess we'll have to wait and see. Time moving fast now. Feeling like I'm on my own. Acting like I got it figured out. But I don't know what's going on. See, I don't know what's gonna happen. I don't wanna let you down, mama. Try to front like I ain't worried about it. But deep down, I'm scared, mama. Catching glimpses of this evil world. I can't avoid it, it's impossible. And my biggest fear, probably, is I'ma end up being evil too. I'm conflicted, cause I always say I'm still the same. But if I'm wanting something different, then I gotta change. Gotta change. I want them all to remember me and to know my name. We got a purpose and I'm feeling like I found mine. But I still second guess myself in my damn time. Stress is never ending, I'm losing my damn mind. Am I a descendant of David like the chosen one? Or am I someone begging for you to notice him? Will I go down in history? Or will I be forgotten in the mystery? I could tell them I remember, but will they all remember me? I wonder how they feel about me. I guess we'll have to wait and see.